Hello, and welcome to TLF Gems, a podcast about customer experience and insight from TLF Research. I'm Stephen Hampshire.
And I'm Greg Roche.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about customer insight in the construction sector.
Yeah, we did many sort of construction clients. We have construction, building, and a really interesting sector. And a very interesting sector in terms of what comes out and how to get the insight and research from it. Construction, like many of the B2B sort of sectors, it's interesting because it's fewer customers, big customers, long relationship, different touch points with different people. And really understanding the insights at those stages, as well as sort of the overall look, it provides a good solid research program. And I think typically in construction, it's more of a research program than an individual survey. It's some of the things that come out absolutely, finding those key moments and those key touch points. It's a sector that really does benefit from having good insight, and particularly understanding why people say things and what they say, not just the NPS score is 62.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it, funnily enough, it is a sector in which NPS is very, very popular. And that's fine. You know, I have no particular issue with NPS as a headline metric, but you need more than a headline metric. And I think that's the point you're making. I think very often what you need is more qualitative insight rather than quantitative insight, which is a drum we seem to be banging a lot at the moment, because it is about understanding decisions. It's understanding what people are thinking and feeling. It's about understanding what their expectations are. And all of that is more qualitative than quantitative.
Yeah, and I like the fact you used the word there, thinking and feeling, and particularly sort of feeling. And it's often in the construction sector, it's not just what one person is feeling. You know, the relationships are, well, there's many relationships with many people on both sides. And perhaps it's actually one of the sectors where you do see perhaps some of the starkest difference in relationships. You know, I will have done numerous hundreds of interviews where the person I'm interviewing will say something along the lines of, do you know what? The on-site team are brilliant. They couldn't do enough for you. You know, it's as if they're our own, because the health and safety is really high standard. They're brilliant. They couldn't do enough for you. And then they pause, and you know what's coming next. But, yeah, let me tell you about the off-site team, the account managers, the commercial challenges, getting things delivered, what's happening, you know, with the budget and being able to see both sides of that gives you the correct view. Just seeing one of those would give you the wrong view.
It's a really interesting industry, I think, because there are so many players involved in any project, I often like to think that, you know, the REBA stages, or stage 0 to 7, it almost sketches out for you a customer journey. It's not literally, here is our customer journey. But for any particular project, that probably is the journey of the vast majority of projects. So there is this kind of, there's a degree of standardization in the terminology people use and in the way people approach kind of getting a project delivered that actually creates almost a bit of consistency and uniformity across the whole sector, which is a little bit rare and in a way clarifies things. You know, so it does sort of identify, here are the roles involved at different stages of a project and you know, what they're doing at each of those stages. And that gives you a kind of consistent context for understanding where these relationships are happening and how they're happening. But it also makes you realize just how complex all those relationships are. So let's try and make this a bit more concrete. If I'm a manufacturer.
Concrete. Nice. Like it.
I'm making. Very good. But yeah, if I'm a manufacturer making perhaps concrete, or, you know, perhaps insulation panels, or perhaps plumbing systems, or whatever it is I make, there's an immediate relationship. I sell my products to probably, in the majority of instances, probably a distributor, a merchant, occasionally perhaps direct to a contractor. But who are my customers? Are my customers well, yes, they are, the distributor, the merchant, stockist, whatever, but arguably the customer that's really making the decision could be the contractor who goes in, pays the money. You know, that's where the money is fundamentally sort of coming from in that project picture. But then the end client is actually where the money is fundamentally coming from, if we really track this back. And ultimately, the architect or the specifier or some technical design person has probably made the recommendation for the kind of product. And if I'm lucky, perhaps even my product specifically. So all of those relationships, I would argue, are customer relationships. And that creates some challenges, doesn't it?
So who do we interview in that scenario?
Well, everyone, I would say. And this can be difficult because A, I don't necessarily have a list of everyone except for the people I'm delivering my stuff to. And B, there's a risk that you're seen as treading on people's toes. So I, as a distributor, might not like you, the manufacturer, going to my customers to talk about your products.
But you do need to have everyone, you're completely right, to get the full picture. Though obviously the feedback you get from the next person in the chain is the more immediate feedback. But even sort of knowing what your customers think is a value bit of insight for strategic thinking. The other bit that we often find in construction, building, and the associated sectors around there, and you use the word, use the word relationship there, and there are many different relationships. But the thing that comes out about this sector is it's a relationship over quite a long period of time. The customer supplier relationship isn't for a day or a week. It's for years. Sometimes decades. So, like any relationship, it has its goods, it has its bad bits, it goes up and it goes up and down, and different people get involved, which is one of the reasons why I think having surveys at key touch points, or perhaps when you move from one part of the relationship to the other. So I mean, one that I do a lot with quite a few clients is, we do an interview in the pre-construction stage, then we do interview in the construction stage, and then we do a post-construction interview. Sometimes if we interview the same person, often we interview different people, but there's obviously different questions that need asking at those different stages for it to be actionable. And one of the things I do like about the sector is because it's sort of pseudo real time, but you can do stuff to affect it. Because if during that interview don't like this going on, not having the right relationship, aren't getting this, we can change it and make it better for everyone.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that's really important, I think, is to understand that what we're suggesting with this insight and this research, it isn't replacing account manager conversations.
No,
You know, those should
absolutely complimenting
all
it.
be happening. It's to sit alongside it and partly think a bit more sort of systematically across all these relationships, and partly just to give that kind of the chance to step back a little bit, and kind of review things, not in the what are we panicking about this week, and you know, have you got the right lorries available that the right size to get onto my site, and all the sort of minutiae of it, just take a step back and think about, okay, well, where are we with this project, and how has it been going, and do I feel looked after, and so it's that slightly the chance to take a step back, I think, is really, really important because everyone's firefighting the whole time.
Working with one of the clients, we've recently changed the interview to it used to start with the NPS and understand why and what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. And we've moved it to the end for a couple of reasons. But the opening question is exactly what you said there. How's the contract going? And honestly, it's a wonderful opening question that I'd encourage anyone to use, particularly in this sector, because you get an answer to that, and it would be wrong for me to say the answer is usually this or that. Sometimes it's a sentence, but you usually get a re where you find out how the contract's going. It's a really nice open question that then leads to other parts of the interview.
I think there's a bit of a danger in probably customer experience in general, but certainly B2B and perhaps particularly construction, that it gets reduced to very sort of functional nuts and bolts stuff. Like, does the product do the
Yeah.
job? Is it delivered on time? What price is it?
See, that's not all insight. That's operational. That's KPIs. That's SLAs. That's not insight.
No, right time in, on time in full, sure. It's important. Of course it is. But what else is important is probably where we're coming from. And also, is your on time in full measure actually capturing what the customer thinks is happening? Because that can go a bit wrong.
It's back to the word you said before, Stephen. It's about what people are feeling and how's that affecting decision making. Yeah, of course, numbers and performance affect decision making, but feelings have a big part. And this, and construction get that, in terms of, the account managers and the structures and the meetings and the ongoing relationship. I think they are a very advanced sector in terms of understanding, I think because of the size and the commerciality and the longevity of the relationship, they get that account management and understanding people is a big part of what they're looking for, which I guess is why we do so many surveys in this sector.
They do. And I think one of the things you find when you do these depth interviews is the wording changes a little bit, but so often what customers will say is something along the lines of, they helped us out a little bit when we needed it, and we helped them out sometimes. And it's does that sense of kind of reciprocal trust is often really, really powerful. And that isn't in any process map. That is
No.
just about people going, do you know what? Our SLA says 5 days or whatever, but I know you need it. I'm going to get you it.
Yeah. The swings and roundabout to a relationship, and they did this, they went above and beyond. I needed something, they responded. Therefore, I've got them a bit of slack there, which is how relationships are.
Exactly, exactly.
And as you say, that's not recorded anywhere, but that affects, how likely am I to commission them again? It really does affect that.
The value of trust in B2B relationships, and I think particularly in construction, is really hard to quantify, but if you could quantify it, it would be a very big number. And trust isn't just about that account management relationship and that flexibility. It there's about, do you consistently produce high quality stuff and deliver it on time? So all of that matters is that all that's part of trust. But the flexibility is part of it as well.
I think one other thing that I think the sector is great at, and is often, well, is in a lot of the questionnaires, and it's leading at, is you end up talking about the environment, you end up talking about sustainability, you end up talking about innovation, and those challenges that are coming to society. Over that are with society and are coming to society certainly over the next decade or the next 20 years, this sector is having to address them now because they're building stuff for the future. And so I think it's a really important part of the relationship and the solutions and the challenges that people are finding it in this sector. It sort of creates a bit of a common bond between supplier and client because we need it to do this, we need it to function like this, and it's got to do this for the next 50 years. And I find it a really fascinating sector, particularly just on a personal point of view, particularly from the sort of sustainability and innovation angle.
I think sustainability is a really interesting one because what and we see this with our own attempts to sort of measure our carbon footprint and start reducing it. What everyone is struggling with is the scope three stuff. Yeah, the effectively the supply chain stuff. So everyone is putting pressure on their suppliers to measure more accurately and also start reducing. So it keeps getting sort of kicked higher up, back up the supply chain and a little bit down the supply chain as well, but along the supply chain. So everyone, so there it can feel a bit unfair. So, well, not unfair, but it can feel like there's a lot of pressure on you as a, let's say you're a manufacturer. You're probably under a lot of pressure from contractors to have clear measurement of what your carbon footprint is and also be reducing it. It can feel like there's a lot of pressure on you, but no, there's no payoff for that. There's no,
It's in the future somewhere, isn't
yeah,
it?
exactly that. It's only about sort of differentiation ultimately, I suppose. But it is also, I think, about understanding that that pressure is there for a reason. It's there because that's a customer need. So if you see that as part of the customer experience, as opposed to, you know, an annoying box ticking exercise, that's probably quite a helpful sort of mind shift to have.
Yeah, and you know, the collaboration that goes on in the sector between supplier and contractor and distributor or specifier, you know, that's such an important part of addressing, you know, some of these big things that are here for this sector. I was going to say coming, but they're actually here for this sector, or already.
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting, not conflicts exactly, but kind of being pulled in different directions. So sustainability is a really interesting one. So we want to be more sustainable, but so we want probably more thermally efficient buildings. So we want more insulation and high performance insulation, but we also want safe buildings, and we want buildings that aren't going to have hideous fires like Grenfell. Those are pulling in different directions. So I think there's some real innovation is that sort of a magic wand to wave at it, isn't it? Go, oh, we'll come up with something that is both safe and thermally efficient.
Just be innovative.
Yeah, exactly. but there are, you know, we're often balancing, not quite contradictory, but sort of slightly contradictory needs. And that is, I think it's a challenge for the sector, really, to figure out how can we meet all these future demands. And again, one of the interesting things with construction is you're always sort of working 20 years ahead of now, aren't you?
I do wonder commercially. It always amazes me how you know, it's in a sector that operates on small margins as well, that how they manage to do it all, you know, commercially, and you know, not knowing that energy is going to go up and this needs to come from there, and that conflict between, well, we can do exactly what you're describing there, Stephen, but it's going to cost you twice as much because we need to get this and this, and that's developing technology, and it's not established technology, and even the sort of the whole commercial side of the sector is a very, I perhaps to sort of slightly pull this to a conclusion, I think all we've been talking about in the last 10 minutes is understanding how people think and why they think that, not just let's get a score.
One of my favourite and most sort of nerve-shredding business stories, there's a book called Left Brain, Right Stuff by Phil Rosenzweig, I think he's called. But he, one of his stories is about a building company in the States, but they're bidding for a big sort of defence contract. And they'd done all their sums and worked out, you know, the figure of basically what their break-even point would be sort of now today, and it, you know, it's $4 billion or whatever. So they bid 80% of that and won the contract. And readers go, you did what? that sounds horrifying. But basically the logic was, we're not going to win this at today's break even, but I'm going to bet the company on the fact that we'll find efficiencies and, you know, innovation,
value engineer stuff.
And we'll be able to make it work. But yeah, the idea of thinking like that, and this is why I don't run a massive
£4 billion company.
Exactly, yeah, because I couldn't do that. But yeah, that you sort of have to, in a way, you have to admire people who can make decisions like that, which is the point of the book. It's about going, the essence of that book in a nutshell is you need to have all the data, but then you need to make an intuitive decision, not a data-driven decision. And that's a good example, I think, if we're going, we've got all the data, we know exactly what this would cost us today. We've probably got some evidence for how we can, you know, work more efficiently on a bit of a trend line, perhaps. And I'm going to take a punt with the company on the basis of that.
Brilliant.
It's probably enough of us talking about the construction sector for now. We probably something we might come back to again in the future. But yeah, hopefully that was interesting. Thank you very much for listening. If you're using iTunes, please subscribe, rate and review us. And if you want to get in touch, you can find us on Twitter at TLF Research or at tlfresearch.com.
Thanks, everyone.